Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. I thought tonight we'd continue our discussion last week of this outstanding question, why are there so many different interpretations of the Bible? Now, let me mention that our lines are open. If you'd like to call in with your Bible question or comment, call us at 1-877-655-6755. Last week we were talking about how that many people think that there are so many different interpretations of the Bible because the Bible is so hard to understand, and we were illustrating that 99 times out of 100 that's simply not the case. For example, toward the beginning of the program I read 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they should be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I suggest that there's nothing hard to understand about that passage. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted to them to speak. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. Yet, most churches allow women to preach from the pulpit. Is it because the Bible is hard to understand? Obviously not. This verse is very easy to understand, and it very clearly, without ambiguity, it's not unclear at all. It's not hard to understand at all. And yet most churches allow women to preach, and this verse is clearly saying that it's wrong. There are not a lot of different interpretations of the Bible because the Bible is hard to understand, and this case illustrates the fact that that's not the reason. Probably the reason so many churches allow women to preach from the pulpit is because they've been influenced by the world. They've been influenced by the women's liberation movement instead of allowing the Bible to tell them what they ought to believe. Another reason we went over last week was because why there's so many different interpretations of the Bible is because some people use the wrong authority. One of the details under that point is that many times churches allow tradition, which is the wrong authority, to trump Scripture. Now let me give you an example we went over last week that to me is a jewel, so easy to understand. Again, we're talking about why is the Bible so hard to understand? Why are there so many different interpretations of the Bible? It's not because the Bible is hard to understand. And this is a good illustration. Tradition trumps Scripture in many cases. The Catholic Church has a tradition of the perpetual virginity of Mary. That Mary was a virgin all of her life, all the way up until the time that she died. But now I want to read for you Matthew 13:55-56. It says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses, and Simon and Judas and his sisters? And so the Bible says here that Jesus had brothers, James and Joses, and Simon and Judas, and sisters. Now how could Jesus had brothers and sisters if his mother was a virgin all of her life? No. The Bible teaches that Mary was a virgin up until the time that Jesus was conceived. And as a matter of fact, it teaches she was a virgin up until the time that Jesus was born. But after that, Joseph evidently knew her and they had other children, brothers and sisters, according to Matthew 13. It says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren, James and Joses and Simon and Judas and his sisters? So the Catholics have an interpretation of the Bible, they say, that says Mary was a perpetual virgin. And then others don't have that interpretation. Why do we have those two different interpretations? Is it because the Bible's hard to understand? No, the Bible's easy to understand. That's not the problem. The Catholic Church is letting tradition trump Scripture. We also went over the fact that people have ulterior motives, and that's why they come up with different interpretations of the Bible. It interferes with how people want to live. We illustrated that point with Matthew 19:9. Jesus said there, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Is that verse hard to understand? Does it seem to me that it's hard to understand? Then why do so many churches allow couples who are in their second and third adulterous marriages to be considered faithful members? Why are there so many people who claim to be Christians who are divorcing and remarrying and divorce and remarrying? Is it because the Bible's hard to understand? No. Matthew 19:9 is not hard to understand. Jesus said, whosoever will put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. That's not hard to understand. And then I suggest to you a reason there are different interpretations of the Bible is because many times the Bible contradicts what we wish the truth would be, what we would want it to be. Another reason is that people don't take into consideration all the passages. Let me give you an illustration. Jesus said in Matthew 26:27-28, and he, talking about Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, the Catholics use that verse to preach that the fruit of the vine miraculously changed to the literal blood of Jesus when he gave thanks, a doctrine called transubstantiation. But Catholics ignore other passages that would show this position is unsound. Just look at the very next verse, Matthew 26:29. Jesus said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, I could see how, from Matthew 26:27-28, why somebody might think that the fruit of the vine literally changed to the blood of Christ. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament. I could see how they might think that. But if you read the next verse, you'll see that position is wrong, because Jesus said in the next verse, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. So he calls it fruit of the vine. Yes, does he call the juice his blood? He does. Does that mean it changed literally into blood? If it does, then the next verse means it changed back to fruit of the vine, because Jesus calls it fruit of the vine in verse 29. This is a good example of people don't take into consideration all passages on a subject. Lance from Las Vegas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I just ran into a black guy today. He was saying that the Jewish people today aren't the real Jewish people, that they were more African descent and that they were run off. They split up and run off, so the real Jewish, the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jewish people, they aren't the real Jewish people. Do you have anything to help me out with that one?
Well, did he give you a passage to try to prove it?
No, he just said, like I said, the dark skin and the Jews now are white. How could they be white if they're in the desert? You know, I mean, they're Arabs, or that whole area is more dark-skinned people. I don't know.
Well,
go ahead.
The Bible, we have to have a Bible verse to prove what we're going to say, so I'd ask your friend to give us a Bible verse. But let me ask you this, Lance. Does it really matter, since passages like Ephesians 2 say that it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile anymore?
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree.
Let me read to you. That's in Ephesians 2:14-16. But how about Galatians 3:26-27 and thereabouts? It says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it doesn't matter anymore whether or not we're Jew or Gentile. All that matters whether or not is if we're a Christian. Doesn't matter what the race is or anything like that. Black or white, Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free. Doesn't make any difference. Any follow-up with that, Lance?
No, I agree 100% with that. I just was curious if you had any, if you've heard this question before, or why they so looking white, and the Jew, he's saying that it's been hijacked. Basically, the Jewish people aren't the real Jewish people. So I agree with exactly what you said, but I didn't know how to disprove that they're not the real descendants of the Jews. I didn't know how to.
Well, the Bible was completely written by the end of the first century, so it's not going to comment upon the people that are in Israel today. It's not going to be able to tell you who they are for sure. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Okay, that's why I was wondering how I would find that out, or is there a way to do that?
Well, you can't find it out from the Bible because the Bible doesn't address who is actually living in the state of Israel today. But what it does address is until the end of time, it doesn't make any difference whether you're Jew or Gentile. What makes a difference is if you trust and obey God and become a Christian. Okay, Lance?
I agree 100%. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
And so we were talking about the Catholics, how they come up with this doctrine of transubstantiation from Matthew 26, but if they look at the very next verse, they'll see their position is wrong. The same mistake is being made when preachers teach salvation is by faith alone. It is true enough that verses like John 3:16 teach we must believe to be saved. That's perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. But no passage says believe only. And James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So if you just looked at John 3:16 all by itself, you might conclude that salvation is by faith alone. But when you take all the passages on the subject, for example, if you look at James 2:24 and it says you're not saved by faith only, and you look at Mark 16:16 it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, then you'll see that this position, that salvation is by faith alone, is an incorrect translation of the Bible. And it's not because the Bible is hard to understand. It's because people are not taking into consideration all the passages on the subject of salvation. Jamie, you're on the air. Your call back on, I think, January 3rd is what caused me to do these two lessons on why are there so many interpretations of the Bible. What would you like to say, Jamie?
Well, I just got a question because I've been trying to study the Bible. Now, the Pharisees, they were the teachers of the Scripture, and a lot of people were learning from them. When John the Baptist came, they kind of rejected him, and when Jesus came after him, they rejected him also. Is that because they had the wrong interpretation, or because they didn't want to lose the power that they have?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and the latter is probably the right answer. I'm thinking of a passage like John 12:42 and 43. It says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Now, that's not talking about the Pharisees in particular, but the chief rulers, they believed on Jesus, but they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God and didn't want to lose their position in the synagogue, and so they weren't willing to confess Christ, weren't willing to accept him and follow him and serve him. Does that answer your question, Jamie?
So that's what they say, if we don't put him out, the whole world is going to come after him?
Exactly.
So
you remember,
is that the same problem we have in these days?
Well,
like
that's one of the
history is repeating itself again before the second coming.
That's one of the problems, that people won't accept what the Bible clearly says because they don't want to lose their position. Whatever their position is, their religious position, their financial position, they won't want to lose their position, and that's why they won't accept the clear meaning of the passages. It's not because the Bible's hard to understand. Cliff from Canada, go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Hello. My question is, what does God mean by my children perish because they lack knowledge? Like, what knowledge are they talking about there? Are he's talking about? Because, you know, I see great Christian people out there following, living righteous, doing everything right. Next thing you know, they get cancer and they die. And like, I remember a show from the Vision show we have up here, and this guy kept asking God, why you took my mom, and she was a real faithful believer of the church, and God said, it's not my fault. He said, it's my children lack knowledge.
Well, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 mentions that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not talking about people dying of cancer and getting sick like that. It's talking about people being destroyed spiritually because of a lack of knowledge. They don't study the Bible like they ought to, find out what the Bible says. For example, we've been talking about some particular subjects like women preachers, faith only. People don't study for themselves and they're destroyed spiritually because they have a lack of knowledge, scriptural knowledge. Instead, we should be more like the Bereans we read about in Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's the way we need to be. We mentioned that many people don't understand what the Bible says, not because the Bible's hard to understand, but because it's different than what they wish the truth would be. For example, many believers can never feel comfortable if there's any chance they can lose their salvation. So they accept, once saved, always saved. They say you can't fall from grace. Even though practically every page in the Bible teaches against the theory. One good example is Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Here's a passage that clearly teaches that once a person becomes a Christian, he can fall from grace. He can lose his salvation. But many people who claim to be Christians refuse to accept the clear meaning of passages like that because that's not what they want the truth to be, because that makes them feel uncomfortable. They want it to be once saved, always saved, where they can live any old way they want to after they claim to become a Christian and still be saved, and they feel comfortable that way so they can live like the devil and still be saved. You know, this reason people won't accept the truth because it's different than the way they would want it to be. Isn't that one of the main reasons some churches don't believe in everlasting punishment? Because that's not the way they want the truth to be, or it's not the way they think the truth ought to be, or they don't think that is fair, everlasting punishment. They don't think it's fair. If you have a Bible question, please give us a call at 1-877-655-6755. So many people claim that there are different interpretations of the Bible because the Bible's hard to understand, and I suggest that's not the reason. Most cases, it's not. Another reason I thought of is many people are more loyal to a system than to God. For example, the Calvinist. They stubbornly hold to all five of their TULIP points of doctrine rather than accept the very plain meaning of some verses. For example, a first grader could see the truth from Hebrews 2:9. That verse reads, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He, by the grace of God, talking about Jesus, should taste death for every man. Who did Jesus die for? It's pretty clear he died for everybody, according to that passage. But Calvinists continue to teach that Jesus only died for a select few, for the elect. It's not that Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 is hard to interpret. That's not the problem. It says that Jesus tasted death for every man. That's clear. Not hard to interpret. But the Calvinists are more loyal to their system of Calvinism, which includes, quote, the limited atonement that Jesus only died for a select few. They're more loyal to that system than they are to what the Bible says. We need to be careful. You know, Peter did say Paul wrote some things hard to be understood. 2 Peter 3:16. 99 times out of 100, that's not why there are different interpretations of the Bible on a passage or a topic. The great majority of time, other factors come into play. Rick from Mobile, go ahead with your question or comment, please. Well, it looks like we lost Rick. Maybe he was traveling and lost his cell phone coverage. Rick, if you want to try to call back, or if anybody has a question they'd like to ask, 1-877-655-6755. What we generally find is the reason there are so many different interpretations of the Bible is not really because the Bible is hard to understand or interpret, but it's usually because people refuse to accept what it does plainly say. It all goes back to keeping an open mind to God's will. Mark Twain is famous for saying, and here's a quote, It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It is the parts that I do understand. You see, there are many different interpretations of the Bible, not because the Bible's hard to understand, but because people refuse to accept what it clearly says. They are influenced by other things. Maybe what they would want the truth to be, as we've mentioned. Instead of, let's let God tell us what the truth is and accept that. What does God actually say? It all goes back to passages like John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Only the truth is going to set us free from sin. False religious teaching will not do it. 2 plus 2 cannot equal 4 and 5 at the same time. All these churches teaching different things, they can't all be right. Only the truth is right, and only the truth will set us free from sin. Jason from Montana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I have a comment about the women preachers. Your comment about the Corinthians. And I got the understanding in Corinthians, what they were talking about was the women were starting trouble within the church, and that's why he said to sit them down to talk to their husbands if they have a question, because they were stirring up mess, trouble. Because, you know, you got the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well. I consider her to be like an evangelist because she led a lot of people to the Lord Jesus by what she said.
Jason?
She went out into Samaria.
Jason, is there anything in 1 Corinthians 14 about the women causing trouble?
Well, you go to the history of it, yeah. That's the reason 1st, 2nd Corinthians was written was because the church was all in a turmoil and a mess anyway.
Okay. So really what we find, Jason,
there was a lot
is... Sorry about that. What we really find, Jason, is that somebody says there's a lot of trouble in the church, and that's why this was written, but that's not in the Bible. That's some other authority telling us that. The Bible is easy to understand. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's what it says. That's what God says. We don't need to take another authority. Like Jason mentioned, the history. We don't need to take that as our authority. Only the Bible should be our authority. Jim from Southwest Kansas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, it was just about Mary Magdalene. Was she a prophet, and did Jesus tell her to go out and you know, spread the word?
Well, not exactly, but we're not saying that women cannot teach the Bible. For example, I know a lot of godly women that teach ladies' Bible classes at their house or teach Bible classes of women and children at the church building. That's not what 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 is forbidding. It's forbidding women speaking in the church, as verse 23 says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place. That's when a woman is not to speak. It's definitely a good thing for women to get out and try to teach the gospel to other women, to children, and so forth. But to preach in the church is what is forbidden. Do you have any follow-up, Jim? We're about to have to go off the air.
Nope, that's it. That's all I needed to hear. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your call, Jim.
You betcha. Thank you.
It's time for us to go off the air. Let me mention again that if you would like a free Bible correspondence course, we'll send you one through the mail. It's totally free. Then I want you to write me at my email, or if you'd like to talk about the Bible throughout the week via email, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. If you want the correspondence course, send me your mailing address at BibleCrossfire@email.com.